Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 16. In verse 6, the Word of God says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. If you think about how to get rid of iniquity, outside of this passage, before we just read it, what would you have thought? Many people will say to themselves, well, I get rid of iniquity by keeping myself within the set of boundaries. I apply the law. Many Christians think they apply the Ten Commandments, not realizing that there's 430 some odd commandments, but they think of only Moses' commandments. Not realizing also that if you violate in one point of the law, you've broken the whole law. Good luck with that. We have these thoughts, and these thoughts are not accurate. And it's not that they wouldn't be factual, it's just that they are not accurate. The Word of God says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Iniquity is not purged by an ascetic work strip. Iniquity is not purged by conformity. Iniquity is not purged by browbeating. Iniquity is not purged with a critical spirit. In Matthew 7:3, Jesus says about the person who's a critic or a judge in that context, but it's really talking about critics, which are a type of judge. He says there, you point out the tiny little sawdust speck, and that's what the original language is talking about. You've got this tiny little sawdust speck, tiny little thing, barely see it in somebody's eye, and you're pointing it out. He says, but you got this beam, this log, this tree, literally this tree in your own eye. Why don't you get rid of your tree, and then you'll be able to help somebody with their speck? And of course, the tree that he's talking about is that we don't recognize our own source, we don't recognize our own thinking, we don't recognize that to be the critic or the judge is the tree in your perception. You cannot correct this tiny, insy little flaw in somebody else's perception unless you get your own perception straight. And that, of course, is a challenge. Our perceptions often are not correct. They may be factual, but they're not correct. Remember, there is a difference between truth and fact. Fact is what you perceive, the data around you, what your senses, your mind can analyze. You hear it, you see it, you call it fact. What you don't recognize is that your fact is a subjective interpretation. Based on a premise you are mostly unaware of. And the reason why you are mostly unaware of it is because the majority of it lies in your unconscious mind. So what I interpret as fact may not be fact at all. Fact is interpretation. And that is all it is. It is interpretation. Truth is established within the Word of God in John 17, 17. Truth is as things actually are. We can't perceive how things actually are. We try to get into truth by fact. And often we'll use the two words interchangeably, but that is a mistake. They are not interchangeable. Fact is that we are all sinners. Truth is, not one of us has any sin. Fact is that we have a sin nature. Truth is that we are the body of Christ and we have God's nature. Fact is, we all deserve to go to hell. Truth is that we've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Truth and fact are two different things. Often they are opposites. Fact is that this situation is overwhelming. Truth is, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Fact is, this person is very difficult to deal with. Truth is, they are the beloved of God. You see, we have to see things in truth, not in fact. Fact gets you in trouble. truth sets you free. The Word of God says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Mercy is the word chesed, and it means goodness, kindness, and faithfulness. And it's from the word chesed, which, get this, it's kindness, which is connected intrinsically to piety. In God's mentality, piety is not, I'm holier than thou. Piety is not, I'm a stuff shirt. Piety is not that I'm this heavy religious person with all these laws and just so perfect in everything I do except for the fact that I lack the heart of God. That's not piety. Piety is kindness. Piety is the character of God. Piety is when I have the heart of God. A person who is pious in God's eyes is not the person who's stuffy and straight and narrow and just so tight that you could beat them like a drum because they're so oriented to all the little details of the law. No, that's not piety at all. That's iniquity. In Psalm 94:20. Piety is you have the nature of God and it flows. It's revealed. That's piety. It's not somebody in a big straight collar and all that. No, it's nothing to do with piety. Piety is simply the heart of God revealed. That's piety. When it's talking about mercy, it's talking about piety. The heart of God revealed. You reveal the heart of God and you will challenge any iniquity. You reveal the heart of God and you liberate people from iniquity. So many people are afraid that grace will be used as a license to sin. I never needed a license to sin. I sinned all by myself without no license at all. Ask my mom and dad. I used to steal food from the plate when I was, even before I could remember, old. My mom tells me I was 6 months old and I would steal a turkey leg off the plate. She's like, where did it go? I was in grammar school. I said I was about 4 years old. And the teachers kept wondering why all the kids didn't have their lunches after they were given to them. It's because I ate them. You see, I didn't need any permission to sin. I didn't need any license. No, you don't need a license to sin. You need a license not to. And mercy gives you that license. Grace gives you that license not to. It delivers you from the place of sin. And it doesn't deliver you through rules or boundaries or what have you. It liberates you. It says you're free from it. It's very difficult for us to get free from sin until we come to mercy. And then being free from sin is virtually instantaneous, effortless. We simply come to mercy and we accept mercy, we receive mercy, we trust mercy, and mercy says, you have no sin. Fact is, I remember, mercy says, that's not the truth. The truth is you have no sin. The truth is there is no condemnation. The truth is there is no record or recollection of any sin anywhere in time. Yours or anybody else's. And truth, of course, is the Word of God, and the Word of God is what cleanses our lives. And when we are cleansed by the Word of God, then we have the thinking of Christ regulating our mindset, our frame of reference, such that iniquity doesn't have a lure. And it becomes purged. The word purged is the word kafal. It means to be covered over. Now, this is something different than the blood of Christ. People think it's removed from you, like the way that blood of Christ removes sin from you. But that's not what it is. It says covered over. What it's talking about is something called theatric action. Theatric action is when, by means of the Word of God and mixing faith with what I hear, I take on the nature of God because it is imparted to me by the Holy Spirit. And it pushes aside my sin nature. It doesn't eliminate it. I'll have a sin nature as long as I have DNA. In other words, until the day I go home to be with the Lord. But I don't live in it. Its effect is nullified. Because now I have God's nature residing in me by the Word of God, producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the sin nature is deactivated. Now that sin nature can become active at any moment. Remove the Word of God from your life and you will be amazed how fast the sin nature can spring back up and come to life. And it can come to life with a vengeance. That's why the Word of God says, if your light turns to darkness, how great is that darkness? Your sin nature can come back with a vengeance. But it's held at bay by the Word of God. If you have trouble with your sin nature, start receiving the Word of God. Even if you don't have trouble, because I guarantee you, you will if you don't receive the Word of God. You just might be living at the good side of the tree of knowledge. If you are receiving the Word of God and you're still having trouble with your old sin nature, you know what the problem is? You need more. The Word of God resolves the issue, but not in insufficient quantity. It's like you go to the doctor and the doctor asks you how much you weigh. And you tell the doctor how much you weigh and then they appropriately give you a certain amount of medication in the needle and they give you the shot with the proper amount of medication. If you told the doctor that you weigh one-third the amount, they would give you one-third the amount of medication. Why? Because it is sufficient at one-third. If you tell the doctor you weigh one-third of what you weigh, but you actually weigh three times as much, they're going to give you one-third the medication, and what do you think is going to happen? Nothing. Absolutely nothing's going to happen. Why? Wrong dose. You need the Word of God in the appropriate measure. You need it in the correct dose. You go through things in your life that are challenging, you need more of the Word of God than you would when everything is going your way, perhaps, because you are experiencing some warfare, because you are experiencing challenges, because your old sin nature is trying to crop up, and the world system and the enemy is trying to get it up there. You need a little more help from the Word of God to keep it in check. Then I'll be listening to the Word of God all day. That would be amazing. Then listen to it all day. Well, I don't have time. Tell me that in eternity. Well, God, you understand as you're standing at the Bema Seat, I just didn't have time. God said, you have all the time I gave you. No, but you don't understand. I just didn't have time. I had things to do. You know what the amazing thing to me is? You got 24 hours in the day and you pick how you use them. And every single day, you got another 24-hour day and you pick how you use it. And you say you didn't have time. No, you just had different priorities. Truth could not deliver you when your priority was not truth. You need the truth. John 17:17, you need the word truth. What does the truth do? It sanctifies you. He said, sanctify them according to thy word. Thy word is truth. Set you apart for God and His purpose. Well, you know, I'm really struggling. Well, that's because you haven't been sanctified. Oh, well, what do? Get the Word of God. The Word of God will do the sanctifying. Well, I get the Word of God and I'm not sanctified still. You're not getting enough. It's not a difficult equation. It's actually a very simple equation. We're just kind of thick sometimes. I need more and I'm not getting enough. What do? Get some more. It didn't go away. It's not there for 15 minutes a day. you get as much Word of God as it takes. And I'll tell you right now, you need a bare bone minimum of an hour just to function. But if you need 3 hours, get 3 hours. If you need 10 hours, get 10 hours. Well, when am I going to do that? Whenever? It's that simple. You see, we got to have these right priorities in order to be able to be set free by truth. If you have a priority other than the Word of God and you're complaining you don't have time for the Word of God because your priorities are wrong, it's not going to set you free. Well, I'm not up to it. Well, then get up to it. Get right. I'm not up to it. It's like telling me, well, I'm carnal. Yeah, I know. Get right. Get right, then you won't be carnal. Then you'll be up to it. Ah, you get the Word of God. That's plain and simple. You get the Word of God. That's why we put it on the internet. You get the Word of God. If you miss, I understand people can't always be heard. I get that, but get the Word of God anyway. By the way, I understand when people can't be here. But it doesn't mean that all of a sudden God's not going to test what was taught. God will test you on what you were supposed to be there for. And if you're not there, the test comes anyway. It's like the kid telling me, well, I missed school that day. I can't take the test. I've had kids tell me that. You know what I said? Did you get the notes? No. Well, that was your responsibility. And so it happens. They take the test anyway. And usually they don't do so well. Why? Because they didn't live up to their responsibility. But we're weird. We think all of a sudden with God, oh, I wasn't there that day, God. That means I'm off the hook, right? God said, no, I'm going to test you anyway. If you can't be here, fine. I mean, I understand. Listen to the message online. That's why it's there. Listen to it online. If for some reason you don't have access to online, for whatever reason, I imagine some people may not. If you don't, not a problem. We'll get it to you. Guys, the Word of God is truth, and that's what sets you apart for God. That's what builds your capacity. Set apart for God. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. That's how it works. And it says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Evil is Satan's government. Let me say it again. Let this soak in. Evil is Satan's government. Often Satan's government will make things look religious. Not always, but that is one of his favorite strategies. In Psalm 94:20. He'll make it look religious so it can stay all about you. But mercy and truth will purge that tendency in us. And by the way, iniquity is the word avon. And it speaks of depravity. In other words, old sin nature. And it comes in its activity, usually through our emotions, bringing us to a place where we rebel against the Word of God. We don't rebel against the Word of God in an overt sort of a in-your-face way. We rebel against the Word of God by saying, well, I have a different opinion. It doesn't apply to me. I have a reason. That's rebellion. Well, rebellion is trafficking in demons. We turn to mercy and truth, and it deals with our old sin nature by means of theatric action. When I know how to think correctly, relating to God, relating to the Word of God, I'll also have a very healthy fear of God. Now, some people say it's not a fear that has torment, but that's not the original meaning of the word. It is a fear that has torment. You will reverence what you fear. It works like that with absolutely everybody. You will reverence what you fear. I don't walk around fearing that God's going to strike me dead. But if I was living in sin, I sure would. If I had the nerve to live, let's say, in fornication, then I sure would have a good reason to walk around fearing God might strike me dead. Because at that point, I am promised chastisement. Before God can be a loving father, he has to be a mighty king. Just the way it works. He is first and foremost the mightiest king. Before God can show mercy, he has to be just. Before God can be compassionate, he has to be righteous. These things all come first in order for the other to be expressed. We deal with a mighty king. And that king is our Father. But don't cross the king. The fear of the Lord is why men depart from evil. I can be tempted to live in rebellion against God's word because my emotions are screaming. But if I have the fear of the Lord, I'll think twice of it and say, no, I'd rather not cross the mighty king, even though my emotions may be screaming. Sometimes it amazes me how well people can control themselves with strangers, but don't control themselves as they stand before God. In Philippians 2:5, the Word of God says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The word mind be, it's actually the phrase, mind be, is phronete. And it's a present active imperative. That means you're the one who's letting this happen. Because it's present tense, it's not a once and for all deal. You're continuously, constantly letting this happen. And it means to be of the same mind, to direct one's mind to a thing until you have the same understanding, and to exercise the mind until your opinion is the same. God wants you to think what he thinks. God does not want you to think apart from what he thinks. That's the fruit of iniquity. God wants you to think what he thinks. Think what he thinks regarding who you are. Think what he thinks regarding your circumstances. Think what he thinks regarding other people. Think what he thinks regarding your decisions, your activities, your behaviors, your thoughts. Think what he thinks. Everything about you, everything you interact with, think what he thinks. Now, what he thinks is delineated, is made clear in Jeremiah 29:11. The Word of God says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. My thoughts are of peace, they are not rooted in Satan's kingdom. They are not thoughts that come through opinion, they are not thoughts that come through emotions, they are not iniquity, they are truth. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace. God's thoughts are truth, they are thoughts of peace, they are not thoughts of evil. And he says, my desire is to give you a specific outcome that I have planned for you. And that is where my thoughts are leading. Because there is an outcome that I have planned for you. What is that outcome? Romans 8:29. I get conformed into the image of Christ. There is the outcome. So how am I going to be conformed to the image of Christ? Well, number one, I need to have his mind. Number two, I need to have his heart. When I have his mind and I have his heart, then I have his character. Then I have his mindset, his frame of reference. So he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. This is what happens to people's thoughts. You ever wonder why our lives can be a mess? You ever notice they can be? You ever wonder why you are the way you are? You think to yourself, oh God, why am I like this? This is bizarre. I don't really have any good reason. I mean, I know I have an old sin nature. But I've learned the Word of God. I've been around a while. God, why am I like a demon personified? Why am I like this? Why can't I get a handle on myself? You ever think that? Nobody has here. I'll tell you why that happens. It's a very simple reason. You have your own thoughts. That's why it happens. You have your own thoughts. The problem with your own thoughts, because I know there's people out there saying, oh, I'm supposed to have my own thoughts, aren't I? No. Aren't I supposed to be an individual within the body of Christ? This is the problem with your own thoughts. Your brain was designed for God's thoughts. It was not designed for your thoughts. So when you fill your brain with your thoughts, you're filling your brain with something it wasn't designed for. And now you're going to have some problems. It's like you take an engine and you pour water in the gas tank. And you're wondering why it's not running. And you say, well, I filled the engine. Yes, but you filled it with water. So, it's a liquid, but it's water. It's not the same as gasoline. It works differently. Its properties are entirely different. The results will be completely different. I don't care if it's in your gas tank. It doesn't work. It's like our thoughts. We fill our head with our thoughts, and our thoughts don't work. We fill our head with our thoughts, and we make decisions on the basis of those thoughts, and we wonder, why isn't this working? I'm thinking. It makes perfect sense to me. It's logical. Well, you see, there's this tiny little problem in there. It's called Isaiah 55:8. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. God's ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are God's thoughts higher than your thoughts and God's ways higher than your ways. I'm filling my gas tank with water and I'm wondering why the car isn't running. Because you have brain damage. That's what happens when you fill your brain with your own thoughts. You get brain damage. Think with God's thoughts and you're not going to have an issue. Think with your own thoughts, you'll have nothing but issues. Think with God's thoughts and everything falls into place. Think with your thoughts and everything falls apart. It's simple as that. You need God's thoughts. They're not your thoughts. They're God's thoughts. You need to turn to the truth of the Word of God in your frame of reference, and then things fall into place. When you don't have truth in your frame of reference, you will take whatever you can find. The closest thing you will encounter, so you will encounter it first, are going to be your emotions. This is why people often get very emotional. They think with their emotions, and they're so accustomed to it, they think it's normal. It's not normal, it's weird. There's nothing normal about it. You think with your emotions, you take away God's thoughts because you've turned to something other than God's thoughts to direct you, and things don't go well. You turn to your emotions and you get a lot of anxiety, upset, frustration, anger, insecurity, all kinds of things that are not much fun. The problem is, is the wrong thoughts. God's thoughts will produce God's results. It's simple as that. Your thoughts will produce your results. Well, the Word of God says that my head is sick, my heart is faint, there's no good thing in me. Good luck with those results. But we do this. And then we hear the Word of God, and we aim at it in church, and then we leave church, and we go back where? To God's thoughts? No! Right back to the dog pile! We are so weird. We're thick. We're brain damaged. You're not going to find anything there. And we keep trying at it in our thoughts, and trying at it in our thoughts, and trying at it in our thoughts, and we reach the definition of insanity. In other words, you keep trying the same thing, it doesn't work, and you keep trying the same thing, and you expect something different. No, you're going to get the same thing. So long as you're staying in the old thoughts, you'll have the old results. Try something different. You go to God's thoughts. The Word of God says, in 1 Corinthians 13, in the last part of verse 5, that love thinks no evil. There is a specific activity to love in your thinking. And one of the primary activities of love in your thinking is that love thinks no evil. In other words, love will not tolerate a thought that comes from the enemy's camp. It simply will not allow it. If I think no evil, then love is functioning in my mind. It's taken over my mental faculties, it's taken over my frame of reference, and I start to operate mentally in the heart of God. Love thinks no evil. Nothing that is outside of truth is going to enter into the thoughts of love. By love, I'm not talking about affection or emotion. I'm talking about a conscious decision that gives me first, unyielding patience, and second, tremendous kindness. That is a decision. Mentally, I make a decision. How am I going to be mentally? A lot of people will say, well, I'll make a decision about how I act, but they let go how they think. You know what? If you let go how you think, you won't be able to control how you act. Why? Because your actions are based on your thoughts. And so people will say, well, I'll try to conform my behaviors, but my thinking is still out to lunch. Your behaviors, your speech, your decisions will reflect what you're thinking. And you may think you have a handle on it, but everybody else will know differently. Love thinks no evil. Love does not entertain thoughts from Satan's kingdom. If I don't entertain thoughts from Satan's kingdom, then in Galatians 2:22, what I have is love in my thinking. In other words, I'll have the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in my thought life. And that, of course, is love. That will produce all the remaining aspects that come out of love, like joy and peace, and temperance, which is self-control, and so on. It's all about the thought life. Love thinks no evil. It doesn't think with the enemy. How often do we think with the enemy? We say to ourselves that we don't because we can find justification for our carnality. But in truth, we do. Don't ever say to yourself, well, I have good reason God will call you a liar. No one has a reason to think outside of the Word of God. The only reason why anybody does think outside of the Word of God is they're carnal. God doesn't sanctify carnality. Nor does He ordain it. Nor does He tolerate it. God crucified Adam. He didn't put him up as an example. And so, we don't tolerate this in ourselves. Today we have this thing in our society, because we're getting kind of soft, where we are very soft in our heads, soft in our thinking. We kind of coddle and sympathize with our emotions a lot. We sympathize with our own carnality. We're a little bit mentally soft. But Christians need to learn how to be mentally tough. And it's not by getting your back up. It's by learning the Word of God. When I learn the truth of the Word of God and the practicality of it through application, then I toughen up very fast. And it's not because I wouldn't have emotion or feeling or sympathy or anything like that. It's because I know what reality is in the matter. It's not that I would lose some of my humanity. No, it enhances my humanity so that my humanity as designed can come forth, not as has been corrupted. A healthy mind makes a serious backbone, but not in terms of the way the world calls it a backbone, where I stand in some kind of conflict, but in that I have tremendous confidence in the Word of God, in the promises of God, in the character of God. And that will make you bold. Love doesn't think evil. Love does not see a circumstance and say, oh, this will overwhelm me. Show me that written in the Bible. Hezekiah 15:12, your circumstance will overwhelm you. You go ahead, look it up. Hezekiah 15:12. Look it up in your Bible, see if you can find it. Your circumstance will overwhelm you. The next verse is just as good. Verse 16. The person you're around is really irritating. And then right after that is even better. Verse 17. Let them have it so they can get out of it for their own sake. Alright. Stand that one at the bema seat. But God, it said in Hezekiah. It's so simple. Love doesn't think evil. Love doesn't think evil. Love thinks no evil toward you whatsoever. God says, I know the thoughts that I think of you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. God never has a single negative thought toward you. It's thoughts of peace and not of evil. Likewise, we don't tolerate a single negative thought in our own lives. Why? Love thinks no evil. If I have a negative thought in my life, then I have a thought that is sourced in the wrong kingdom. Don't tolerate the wrong kingdom. It's like this. Somebody has a hammer. And they say, give me your hand so that I can pound it. And I say, here you go. And then I wonder why it hurts. But we do that all the time. A negative thought is projected to us through some demonic projection in the atmosphere, and we say, oh, thank you. And they say, see? Oh, yeah, I do see. Yep. Quite right, demon. And before long, somebody talks to me, it's like talking to a demon, because they are actually talking to a demon who's borrowed my voice box. Not because a Christian can be possessed, but they can lend their voice box pretty good. Look at Peter, what happened to him? Lord, you're not going to the cross. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Well, that wasn't very nice. Jesus didn't care if it was nice. Jesus cared if it was truth. Now here's the thing. We cannot become familiar with the truth if we are to be successful in the truth. That's what happened to Eve. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, Satan came in and said to her, first thing, does it make any sense, Eve? Literally, that's the literal translation. It's not hath God said. It's, does it make any sense what God has said? Well, let me think about it. God's ways are all above my ways. God's thoughts are above His. High as the heaven is above the earth, so are His ways above my ways and His thoughts above my thoughts. Does it make any sense? No. Doesn't matter. Of course it doesn't make any sense to me. How is it going to make any sense to me? It's not about making sense. It's about God said so. That's all the sense I need. God said so. But Satan comes in and says, does it make any sense to you, Eve? To you. After all, Eve, it's about you. And so Eve is getting a little bit familiar here. She's gotten a little religious. God never said anything about not touching it, but she said, no, God said you will not eat from the tree and you will not touch it. Oh, a little bit of addition there. Now Satan knows her orientation. And so he says to her, Eve, in verse 4, you're not going to die. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll know good from evil. And after all, Eve, isn't that what you've been wanting? So what happens? Familiarity leads to confusion. I stop regarding the Word of God as truth because I'm familiar with it. I don't mean familiar as an acquaintance. I mean familiar as it's no longer precious, no longer to be revered. When I get to that point, confusion sets in. And when confusion sets in, all kinds of mess can take place. Then Satan has free rein. He took God's thoughts and replaced them with Eve's thoughts. And the result was the fall of mankind. Now, we wonder why it doesn't work for us. And the reason is because we're not designed for a fallen mind. We're designed for God's mind, not for a fallen mind. It didn't work for Eve. It didn't work for Adam. The first thing was they started hiding themselves. What kind of weirdness is that? I've been like this all my life and now it's a problem. What's the problem? You've been like that all your life. Self-consciousness, that was the problem. The problem that I have with my circumstances or people around me is not because of the circumstances or people around me. The problem I'm having is self-consciousness. I don't see how I can figure it out. And the answer is, you can't. Because you don't have the natural mind for it. You need the mind of God. That's how you figure it out. When I think evil, it's not that I think nasty thoughts per se. It's that I think thoughts that are wrongly sourced. They're not from truth, they're from self. They're not from God, they're from the natural. They're not from the tree of life, they're from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The tree of life, by the way, after the garden, is the cross. They're not thoughts sourced in the cross, they're thoughts sourced at the tree of knowledge, good and evil, which is the tree of self-orientation. That's why it doesn't work. You're not designed for it. Not one human was ever designed for anything but the mind of God. But when humans stepped outside of the mind of God, what happened? Well, their first child was a killer. That's the fruit of self-orientation. It kills. No, we go back and we go to the Word of God. We go back and we go to the Word of God. Without the Word of God in Genesis 6:5, every imagination and every thought that we have is continually evil because it's wrongly sourced. It's sourced in Satan's kingdom. Even if it's at the good side, we have this thing where we want to go to the good side of the tree rather than to the tree of life. Even at the good side, it's wrongly sourced. It's the same tree. You don't go to the good part of that which is natural. You get rid of that which is natural, and you go to the mind of God. Then you have something that is useful. Well, the Word of God says in Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." The wicked is not necessarily the one who's doing terrible, dreadful things. The wicked is the one who's wrongly sourced. The throne of iniquity does work mischief by the law. The strength of sin is in the law. It's not that the law is evil. It's that it's used incorrectly. Satan will use it incorrectly. Satan went toe-to-toe quoting scripture with Jesus, who was the living Word. Imagine that. Arguing scripture with the living Word. Not only is that futile, it's incredibly evil. But you see, we do that too sometimes, and we don't even realize it whenever we step outside of the mind of God. You don't have any other place to go if you're outside of the mind of God. People wonder, well, you know, I may not get built up all the time, but I don't know why I can't think straight. You can't think straight because you have brain damage. Get rid of the brain damage and you'll think straight. What would happen if you took a concoction of half gasoline and half water and poured it into the gas tank? Engine will not run anymore. Why? You've damaged your engine. You take a concoction where you try to get a little bit of the Word of God and a whole lot, or even a little bit of the natural mind, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. What do you think is going to happen? Brain damage. We're weird. We really are. We're weird. We walk around clinging to brain damage and saying, I don't know why it doesn't work. Why can't I think straight? Well, get the mind of God and you'll think straight. There is a solution. The mind of God is your solution. It's not really complicated. It just takes an ounce of humility, but it's not complicated. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now here's the thing. If I have the thoughts of the mind of God, in other words, the thoughts of the one who is love in 1 John 4:8, and I do practice 1 Corinthians 13:5, where I think no evil, well, the Word of God says in verse 16 of 1 John 4 in the B part, he that abides in love abides in God and God in him. I don't think evil. I'm patient, I'm kind, I don't think evil, I don't puff myself up, I don't seek my own way, and I abide in God and God abides in me. We need to get this mental block out of our way, that we have thoughts that are somehow useful apart from the thoughts of God. Our thoughts are not useful apart from the thoughts of God. Don't hear this, walk away from it, and go back to the same old. God doesn't like that. hear it, mix faith with it, and let it transform you. That's why it's given. Don't go to the old way of thinking. Embrace God's way of thinking. Love doesn't think evil. Love does not think apart from the Word of God. Love doesn't think about its circumstance. It doesn't think about itself. It doesn't think about other people according to evil. Only according to the love of God. God's not going to violate who He is. And He's not going to tolerate people violating who He is. We desperately need this mind of Christ. Not just for eternity, certainly for eternity, but begins a whole lot earlier than that. We need it now. Let me ask you this week, how much peace that passes understanding was there in your life? How much joy of the Lord was there in your life? How much abundant life was there in your life? A whole lot. It's because you got the mind of Christ. Or was it lacking? It's not that the joy or the peace or the life was lacking. The thoughts were lacking. You have the thoughts of God and all those things come in. You remove the thoughts of God and all those things go out. It's simple as that. And we can blame our circumstances and we can blame people and we can blame health and we can blame whatever you want to blame. And none of those things have anything to do with anything. It's the thoughts of God. That's the issue. Do I think with the thoughts of God? Love doesn't think evil. If I'm living in the love of God, I'm thinking with the thoughts of God. Because love does not think evil. In Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, according to the truth. John 17:17, Word of God truth. Whatsoever things are honest, right before God. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. By the way, just is according to the faith. Whatsoever things are pure. In other words, don't clutter the Word of God with your own thoughts. It's like pouring water into your gas tank. Whatsoever things are lovely, according to the character of God. Whatsoever things are of good report, not receiving an evil report, but of a good report. Why do Christians think that James 4:11 can be ignored? But it says, speak not evil one of another. Because if you speak evil one of another, you speak evil of the Word of God. That can't be ignored. These are in the imperative mood. Love thinks no evil is a dogmatic reality. The command to have the mind of Christ is in the imperative mood. Those aren't things that are optional. Those are things that are required, mandated. Those are the imperatives of God. If there's any virtue, in other words, anything that is in the excellent character of God, if there's any praise, think on these things. And what do you do with the thoughts that are contrary to these things? Well, 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that we cast them down. We don't indulge them. We don't tolerate them. We don't entertain them. We don't get sympathetic toward them. We cast them away. And we bring every thought into captivity and into the obedience of doctrine. That's what we do. We do need to get a little mentally disciplined, though. But then again, that's good for us. And anything else? We get to enjoy our misery. Or we get to enjoy the fullness of life. Amen? you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.